الحمد لله، الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، ثم الحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، ثم الصلاة والسلام على نبيه صفيه وحبيبه. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واذكر في الكتاب إسماعيل، إنه كان صادق الوعد وكان رسولا نبيا، وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة والزكاة، وكان عند ربه مرضيا. وقال تبارك وتعالى: والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. وقال سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: مروا أولادكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء سبع سنين، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله المولانا العلي العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected honorable ulama, beloved brothers, all praise is due to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who has favored us with innumerable favors, benefits and privileges. The greatest obviously is the great ni'mat of iman. May Allah keep us with iman. May Allah keep our children with iman. May Allah grant us and our families, children and progeny till the day of Qiyamah from this world with correct iman. May Allah raise us in the company of the Salihin, Siddiqeen and pious on the day of Qiyamah with correct iman. And we thank Allah Ta'ala that Allah has made us an ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was the most perfect example in every aspect of our life. Beloved ulama and brothers, by nature, human will always protect, appreciate, look after everything according to its value. If a man got a runaround car, it's a cheapie, probably he uses it to run errands through town, the busy roads of Sparks Road, etc. Then it's a small runaround car, if he has to park it outside, he'll park it outside by all means. But if a person got an expensive, exotic car, then that car won't just be parked outside, it's parked in the garage. It's parked well, safe, in a safe place. So a person will look after it like that. Likewise, whatever a person looks after, you'll find our women folk at home, their cosmetic jewelry, their normal day-to-day jewelry that's not genuine, probably bought at a Chinese mall or somewhere, then that's left around the house, packed probably in one of the drawers. But 22 and 24 karat gold that's bought in Makkah Sharif or somewhere else, and that's kept safely in a safe. So how valuable a thing is to a person, that is how a person looks after it. How we protect our children also denotes how much of value we attach to our children. The manner in which we look after our children, the manner in which we protect our children, the extent to which we give freedom to our children, says a lot about how valuable our children are to us. What is the value of a child in our home? I want to share this example with you. You know, if a person nowadays, if somebody borrows you their car, mashallah, today's technology, you don't have to see the car, you see the remote and you know the car. So if somebody borrows you their BMW, then by seeing the remote, you know it's a BM. So he tells you, no problem, you need to run around with it, use it for a week, by all means your car is probably at the mechanic or it's gone, whatever the reason may be. After 1 week you come and you return the car and he looks at the remote and he says, Maaf, you gave me the wrong car or wrong key. This is a Mazda remote. I borrowed you my BM, you can't give me a Mazda back. You got to give me my BM back. That's what I gave you. Now you can't bring me a Toyota or your Toyota, whatever it is. Give me my car, the car I gave you. So when Allah gave us our children, Allah gave us our children as a jannati. Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitrah. Every child is born as a jannati in our home. It is our duty that we return our child to Allah on the day of Qiyamah as a jannati. That child can't return to Allah in any other form but a jannati. That is our first core responsibility of understanding, that when Allah blessed us with a child in our home, that child is not just my child and your child. That child is Allah's servant who came into our home as a jannati. That child came into our home as an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we must remember and ask ourselves, when we are making a decision in our life, when tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, when we stand in front of Allah, will we have a justified excuse for our decision in front of Allah? Tomorrow when we stand in front of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we'll hope to be amongst those fortunate ones to drink water from the Hawd al-Kawthar, from the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will we be able to present our children and say, oh my Nabi, this is your ummati who I took care of. And I made sure that he returns to you as an ummati. So this is something we need to ask ourselves, that every child is born into our home as a jannati, they need to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a jannati. It's an important responsibility. Brothers, we came into the masjid, mashallah, we heard the adhan, we responded to the adhan, it's an act of thawab, it's an act of ibadat. Some of us managed to read 2 rakat, sahiyatul masjid, salatul haja, it's an act of ibadat. After the bayan, we will read our sunan, it's an act of ibadat. Did we ever think to ourselves that to bring my child up Islamically correctly is also an act of ibadat? That when I bring my child up correctly, when I teach my child any good habit, I have carried out an act of ibadat. And it's not a once-off ibadat, it's a continuous, perpetual ibadat. Understand this. It's not a once-off ibadat, it's a continuous, perpetual ibadat. I can't say that I read my Salatul Dhuhr yesterday, I'm done. So today I don't have to read Zohar Salah. Today I have to read Zohar Salah again. Today I read Jummah Salah, tomorrow I'll read Zohar Salah again. And then I can read on a lighter note. They say, mashallah, time is flying, you know. Closer to Qiyamah, time will fly. So they say, even the brother who comes once a week for Jummah feels I'm a regular Musalli. On a lighter note, ma. So time, we can't read Jummah once a week and feel I'm done. I have to read Zohar Salah every day. I have to read Salatul Fajr every day. I have to read Salatul Asr every day. Every day I have to continuously bring my children up Islamically and make their tarbiyat. I have to nurture them correctly because this is an act of ibadat. Sometimes we think as parents that, you know, I wish my child could listen the first time. I showed him, I told him yesterday, eat with your right hand. Today again he picked up the glass with his left hand. Again I have to remind him. Then tomorrow I have to remind him again. I have to keep on reminding him every day. Yes, if he heard and he listened and he obeyed the first time, then we would have got an opportunity to carry out the act of tarbiyat of our children as an act of ibadat once. But if I reminded him multiple times, Allah gave me the opportunity to fulfill this act of ibadat multiple times. So every time I reminded my child, it's not an excuse for our children to continuously do the wrong thing, but it will take us time. It's not a once of ibadat. Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Purisab, Allah Ta'ala grant him long life with afiyat, who is not in the best of health at the moment, Allah grant him complete shifa, one of our very senior ulama, he says, and he gives a beautiful example, he says a man spends a lot of money on building a home. He uses the best of material, the best of quality of cement, the best face brick, everything of the best quality. Now he built the home. Now he can't sit back and say, I built my home, now I don't have to worry for the rest of my life. From time to time there's maintenance. Maybe the washers in the basin tap will go. Maybe the light bulb will go. From time to time you need to mow the lawn. You need to look after the garden. You need to remove the weeds from the paving. There's a lot of maintenance that goes with the home. And the bigger and more expensive the home, probably the more maintenance. So from time to time you need to maintain it. A home doesn't stay healthy, good, well-structured on its own. It takes continuous maintenance. Like that, another beautiful example he gives, he says you bought a 5-liter ice cream from one of the supermarkets or the ice cream shop, wherever it may be. Now you can't say it's an expensive ice cream, I can just leave it lying around. You take it, you put it in a cooler if it's so hot, and then you make sure at home you put it into the freezer for it to stay frozen for you to enjoy. Once you leave it in an unprotected place, it won't need an effort for the ice cream to melt. It won't need an effort for that house to become dilapidated. On its own it will be dilapidated. On its own it will lose its value. Like that, no effort is needed for a child to adopt bad manners. No effort is needed for a child to get into the wrong company. effort is needed to maintain and sustain that child correctly Islamically. Like how we continuously need to make an effort to protect whatever Allah has given us. Our car, you can't say I bought it, I spent a lot of money, now I'll drive it for the rest of my life. You service it from time to time. They say when you service your car services you. When we nurture our children, inshallah our children will look after us when we are old as well. So it's a continuous effort. The third important point I want to highlight. So when we are nurturing our children Islamically, remind ourselves it is an act of ibadat. The next important point to keep in mind related to our children is the correct upbringing of children is a sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. When we nurture our children Islamically, when we make tarbiyat of our children, when we give our children the correct Islamic upbringing, make a niyat, oh Allah, I'm not only bringing up my children Islamically according to the sunnah of my Nabi, but Allah, I'm practicing on the sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's important, one of the amazing sunnahs of Rasulullah SAW, that many times we fall short, is to create the ideal balance. You'll find a certain parent, he's super strict. He's extremely strict. He's so strict, sometimes his children actually doubt whether he loves them or not. He's so strict with them. He's so hard. We would say in our terms today, he rules with the iron fist. It's my way or the highway. So these children sometimes wonder and think, does my father or mother love me? Then you get another extreme where it's like a free fall. It's a free flow. It's do as you wish, my child, because I love you. The two extremes are both unhealthy. The ideal balance was found in the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a topic on its own, sometimes would go on to his Mubarak knees, being Imamul Anbiya. There could be no higher position than the position of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah SAW. There could be no higher level of piety than the piety of Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. There could be no greater responsibility and being occupied with a task given to him than the task given to Rasulullah SAW. Yet he made time to go onto his Mubarak knees and allow his grandchildren to ride his Mubarak back. And he had time to make time for his beloved daughter Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha and the other children, the other daughters, etc. He gave them, he showed them that fatherly love in spite of his high level of piety, knowledge, taqwa, occupation. But when wrong was seen, wrong was corrected. That was amazing. The balance, when love needed to be shown, it was shown. But when the wrong needed to be corrected, it was corrected. When Nabi Sassam saw one of his grandchildren eating a kajur that they were not supposed to eat, immediately he removed it. And he said, this is not for our consumption. So the balance we need to find, the balance we need to create, it's a task, it's not easy, but it's something we need to continuously, perpetually make an effort to achieve, to create that correct balance in us when bringing up our children. We must understand another important point related to upbringing of children, that our children are living in an era and in a time different to the time we were born in. The time we grew up in and the time the children of today are growing up in are two different eras, maybe two different decades, two different centuries, two different lifestyles altogether. We grew up in a time when correct was correct even if it was not trending. Today, children are growing up in a society where it's more important to conform with what is trending than what is correct. I'll give you a simple example, not even a dini example. You know, I can give you multiple dini examples, but I'll give you a total different examples of what children are consumed with and what they are focused on, what is trending. For us in our times, a noun was a noun and a verb was a verb. So your brain, if a child done something wrong, in our times you would say this child's brain is not working, because brain is a noun. But today they change it, they say this child's brain is not braining. It's a whole new world we live in. The other day we were preparing for a jamaat in the masjid, and we say a scissor cuts. You need a scissor, it's not a verb. But when it wasn't cutting, the brother said, the scissor is not scissoring. Now probably something you and I never heard in our lifetime. And we never thought that it could be correct. That a noun could be changed into a verb in a very humorous way. For us it would be something like, what you're talking? But that's just to explain to you, for our children today, how they are consumed with what is trending. So how do we use it in our favor? You can't just change it overnight because he consumed with it. So we need to show our children what is also spiritually trending. Many of us sitting in this masjid is a masjid which was, mashallah, which was the imamate of this masjid and the programs of this masjid was spiritually uplifted by a great luminary of our time and a great saint, Hazrat Mohan Yunus Patel, rahimullah. Many of us sitting in this masjid probably changed our lives and we were spiritually uplifted and motivated. And from where we were to where we are today and what we could have been had it not been for the noble company of Hazrat Mohan Yunus Patel, rahimullah. May Allah fill his qabr with noor. I myself, as I sit here, was inspired multiple times by him. Truly a great saint. Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to follow in the footsteps of these great people. But when we were exposed to these great luminaries, it was a turning point in our life. It's a great lesson for us that from time to time, we must take our children to meet the ulama. Now, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Mu'anayim wa ta'ala sahab and many other ulama in this area, just to meet them. Brothers, let me use today's terminology. To meet the ulama and the pious is a spiritual supplement for our children. You know, our children who go to the gym, once they start taking supplements, they start doing things they could never do before. They carry iron and they talk about, I can bench 140 and 160 kilos, whatever it may be, because they're on certain supplements, if not more. So when they take that supplement, they can do what they would normally not be able to do. When our children meet ulama, even it be the imam of your town, then it is a spiritual upliftment, a spiritual supplement for them to start doing in deen things they could never have done before. So let them meet ulama from time to time. Let me highlight on this point now, being the beginning of a new year, academic year, never make a decision for your child that would compromise the spiritual deeny growth of your child. Let me repeat that, brothers. For Allah's sake, for your children's sake, for the sake of your child's jannat, for the sake of your child's perpetual salvation in akhirat, don't make a decision that would compromise the deeny growth of your child. Make sure your child attends the maktab. Make sure your child goes to the maktab. It's a topic on its own, speaking on the importance of the maktab system. But in today's time, I can take qasam and say that when you and I were in maktab and madrasa, we went to maktab just to learn deen to a great extent. That was the focus. We learned Quran, we learned fiqh, we learned seerah. Today's maktab system is not only to enhance the deeny knowledge of our children, it is to protect the iman of our children. The attack against our children in today's time, the attack on us when we were young, was on morality, was on certain habits. Maybe a child was smoking cigarettes. From there he might have went on to weed. Maybe he went on to other bad habits. Maybe he listened to some music. But it kind of stopped there. Today's times and the era that we are living in, the attack is not only on the amal and the actions of our children, but the attack is on the haya, modesty and iman of our children. We need to protect that. You and I, one day Allah grant us Jannah, we will want to be with our children in Jannah. This is important. So don't compromise the importance of our children going to the maktab. It's of paramount importance. Make sure they attend. A beautiful example as the Mufti Sahib gives and many other ulama give. You see, you take a sharp knife. You take a sharp knife and you use that knife for qurbani. You use it to slaughter an animal. What will you see on that knife? Cream? No? You'll see blood. Because you use it for qurbani. That same knife, if you wash it out and you use it to cut a fresh cream cake, what will you see on that? You'll see cream, you won't see blood. So whatever that knife cuts through, that is what you will see on that knife. like that when our children cut through people, meaning when they rub shoulders with people, then whatever qualities those people have will rub off on the child. You can't say this knife is sharp so the blood won't be visible on the knife. You can't say this knife is very sharp, you won't see the cream on the knife. No matter how sharp the knife is, you will see the blood on the knife. You will see the cream on the knife. Likewise, no matter how sharp our children are, don't think that my child is extremely sharp. My child can go to a certain school and not go maktab. My child's iman will be intact. No. When my child rubs shoulders with another person, the be'imani of the other person, the be'hayai of that other person will rub off on my child. When my child will go into the maktab, besides learning Quran, with tajweed inshallah, besides learning deen, fiqh, diniyat, history, aqaid, whatever else it may be, the tahajjud of that apa and ustad will rub off on their child. The Quran tilawat of that ustad and apa prior to coming to maktab will rub off on their child. That dua that ustad and apa made, they might look very simple. They might not have the best of command of the English language. They might not be very eloquent and articulate when expressing themselves, but wallah, the piety of that ustad and apa will become an antibiotic to clean up whatever ill effects there might be of anything else that might have rubbed off on the heart of the child. So use that. When our children go to the maktab system, they are actually creating a spiritual immune system to fight the fitna of the time. Understand this. Very important point. When our children go to the maktab, they are, you know, before the old parents used to give Scotch emulsion. Now as time progressed, they created a flu vaccine. Now they say, no, just go for a shot. That will help you now before winter. Take a shot, you'll be okay through winter. That is going to boost your immune system. When our children will go to the maktab, they will boost their spiritual immune system to fight the fitna around them. This is extremely important. Don't undermine what the maktab does to the heart and the iman of our children by protecting it so they can pass away with the kalima la ilaha illallah on their tongue. The last most important point that I want to highlight, very, very important when it comes to upbringing of children, and that is the aspect of dua. Before I come on to this, one more important point that I want to just highlight. When we discipline our children, Allah grant me the understanding, you the understanding. When we discipline our children, for what we discipline our children, and to the extent we discipline our children, tells the child subtly how important that is to us. When we discipline our children, for what we discipline our children, and how we discipline our children, gives our children a strong message to how much we prioritize that item or that thing. If my child drops my brand new iPhone and I want to smack him, I want to give him a hard slap, I want to give him a hiding of his life, then I taught my child how valuable my phone is. If I discipline my child and I didn't speak to my child because he or she missed their Fajr Salah, then I told him how important Fajr Salah is to me. Many an adult will tell you, I can't speak a lie, because when I spoke a lie in front of my father, he taught me a lesson of my life. He taught me that I will never ever lie, no matter what it takes in life. So his father taught him the importance of speaking the truth. And that stayed with him for life, because that was a priority in his father's life. So when we discipline our children, for what we discipline our children and how we discipline our children gives a very strong message to our children discreetly, subtly, of what is a priority in our life. Let us ask ourselves how much we discipline our children. I'm not saying you must do it in a harsh way. I'm saying doing it in a tactful way, but do it when it comes to the matters of deen more than it comes to materialistic possessions in our life. The last most important thing, and that is dua. We have to make dua for our children every day of our life. We have to. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah was Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. He was blind in his infancy and childhood, and he couldn't see. And his mother's continuous dua for him, alhamdulillah, blessed him with not just eyesight, but gave people a vision into the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of our children might be blind to the pages of Quran. Many of our children can see and hear, but they deaf to the words of the muazzin in the masjid or the words of the imam in the masjid. Many of our children don't have what we desire them to have. They never forget the aspect of dua. Once one of my school teachers, but I remember he was a dindar person, mashallah, he taught me a lot. And one day I asked him, "Sir, tell me what is the recipe you found most effective to bring up your children Islamically?" And in a very humorous way, he said, "When we were brought up, there was 90% discipline and 10% dua. 90% our fathers and mothers sorted us out, and 10% they made dua and they fixed us up. Now we have to make 90% dua and maybe 10% discipline, because now even our children get offended when we reprimand them. Let alone somebody else's child getting reprimanded. Today our own children are offended when we reprimand them. So a lot of dua. I'm not saying you must neglect the aspect of discipline, but dua is such an important weapon Allah Ta'ala has granted us. Dua, they say, there is no limit when a child can travel how far, when a child parent makes a special dua. There is no limit to a child traveling how far when the parent makes a special dua. Oh parent, never undermine your communication with Allah, because that is one of the most powerful avenues thus far. For your parent, for your child to make dua to Allah Ta'ala, continuously make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala guide your child. Make dua for your child every day. Make dua for your child more than you make dua for your business. Make dua for your child more than you make dua for your rosy. Make dua for your child more than you make any other dua in your life. Make dua every day of your life. To make dua for your children is actually the quality of the pious that is praised in the Quran Sharif. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.